if you could possibly get on that circuit. The boys are trying to talk to you on the teletype circuit. Okay, I hope that message got through to ACS. That was Charlie Gray. He's our chief engineer, and we are very, very anxious to get our teletype circuits going so that we can find out what news is on the wire, news from outside. For one thing, I would be very curious to see what kind of news they're transmitting regarding us. I'm sure that probably on all the national news wires this morning, the Anchorage story is the lead story in all the news. Yes, somebody's waving frantically at me. Hello. I certainly can. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll give a description. We're on the air here, you know, here in Fairbanks, and if you want to say when, I'll give you a description of what. You're rolling now. All right, this is Bob Fleming at radio station KENI in Anchorage. At 5:36 yesterday afternoon, the 27th of March, we sustained a major earthquake here in Anchorage, Alaska. In fact, the earthquake was felt over much of the south central portion of Alaska. It was felt in Seward and Kenai Soldotna area, Homer, which is known as Land's End. That's on the tip of the Kenai Peninsula. And also in Valdez and Cordova up on Prince William Sound. And the earthquake was a severe one. Many buildings in Anchorage have crumbled and fallen to the ground. Many of the streets have sinkholes as much as 20 to 30 feet. Houses toppled. As yet, we don't know the extent of damage. There's no way for us here at night. It came just as night was falling. No way for us to assess the total damage. Also, there's no way to for us to estimate the number of persons who have been injured. Your reporter here happened to have been in a hospital at the time I was in the hospital as a visitor at the time of the earthquake. And it was a solid concrete structure which rocked and rolled and swayed and finally wound up in a swinging motion that literally wrecked it. The lights, of course, went out. There was ether and gas released in the building. We had to evacuate the patients as fast as possible. Many of them were moved to another large hospital, Providence Hospital, which did not sustain as much damage. It sits in an outlying area. Many crevices and chasms down as much as 30 to 40 feet. We saw houses, full-size three-bedroom houses that were almost out of sight, sitting in chasms. The fact of getting civil defense personnel out to investigate to see about people who were in these houses has not as yet been entirely possible in all areas. The damage has been pretty general over the entire Anchorage area. We've had no reports from the Aleutian chain or in the western part of Alaska at this time. And it's actually at this time there has been no report of any loss of life. There may have been loss of life, or life may have been lost as a result of the earthquake, but so far we've had no accurate reports of any definite loss of life. The governor has directed the area down now to be placed under martial law. The downtown area was cordoned off very soon after the earthquake because so many buildings were left with no fronts. One motion picture theater literally sank into the ground. You can walk into the second story right from... Evans. Do you have a message to pass along to someone, Evans? Channel 11, and he's been monitoring some of the outside radio stations. What are they saying about us?
Well, the station in, I think it was Seattle, but I get the call letters, are calling it the Alaska earthquake. However, its repercussions are being felt as far down as Houston, Texas. What they said had some unusual tide disturbances. Some 12 or 13 feet of water hit Crescent City, California. San Francisco was hit by high tides. In Seattle itself, small boats broke loose, and the docks had some damage. Alberta, Canada had some trouble. And the same outside radio station said that 3,000 feet of the runway at our international airport was torn up, and one of the outside hangars at Elmendorf collapsed. Now, this is a Seattle station, and they are picking up reports from all over the place, but they seem to have quite a bit of information, and its reliability I cannot vouch for. But they did enumerate a number of times that all along the west coast of this country, there was tide activity of considerable proportion, extending all the way to Houston, Texas.
They didn't mention any earthquake activity down there, did they?
No, they referred to it as the Alaska earthquake, and it was mentioned that they did not have a pinpoint on its point of origin, but they called it the Alaska earthquake, which would indicate they've been in touch with the seismographs in Washington, I assume, and they have pinpointed it up here as the point of origin. But they did not give it a specific location. We also heard KFRB out of Fairbanks, and I believe what was the sewer station, although I didn't get an ID on them. And I called this to you a moment ago, and that's where I got the activation of the National Guard.
The activation of the National Guard, you mean in Seward?
In Anchorage.
In Anchorage, I think.
Alaska National Guard member in Anchorage, whether or not he from Anchorage or not, he is now on active duty. And Governor Egan gave General Carroll martial law authorization.
He gave the authorization. Do you happen to know if martial law actually has been declared?
According to KFRB, it has. But that is the only source that I have.
I heard that the authorization had been given, but I had not heard that martial law actually had been declared. The civil defense setup here, I think, is working very smoothly at this time. They've certainly rose to the occasion, don't you think, Kevin?
Absolutely. Also, in the Seattle broadcast, civil defense now is active in Seattle. Although they report no damage and no injury, they said that there was harbor damage and small boats sprung loose, but the civil defense is working in Seattle as well. And also it was mentioned, and I heard Katie a few minutes ago talking about it, Kodiak, downtown Kodiak has been destroyed, were the words used by the Seattle station. And extensive damage throughout other Alaskan cities, they did not go into any detail.
I would imagine that Alaska is going to be quite a while recovering from this, would you think?
It is. The communication factor, of course, now is harder to buck. I find it kind of hard to get used to that so much information seems to be
sounds a whole lot better to call them aftershocks than to call them another earthquake. Anything that happens now is an aftershock. Or an afterwave. I hear the Kenai Capper calling. Good morning, Capper. You still awake, huh?
Oh, we're here. We're awake. You bet. And we have many messages that we'd like to put out. First of all, Molly Canfield and Jamie Canfield, the two children of the Canfield family, have been evacuated from Turnagain by the Weeks family. And Mrs. Canfield is at the American Legion Post number one. So the children are safe, and so is Mrs. Canfield. Also, a message from the Civil Defense again. It's requested that people in the area do leave the house fearing any additional tremors. Should any additional tremors be felt, Civil Defense is requesting that people leave the house. And we have a list of names. Once again, we're going to repeat the list of names of key people in the Anchorage area who were requesting to report to the Public Safety Building at 3 a.m. for a meeting. Following people are requested to report here at 3 a.m. Harlan Davis, R. Everett Harris, Glenn McKee, Ben Boeke, that's B-O-E-K-E, Dr. David Duncan, Miss Irene Griffith, Robert H. Oldland, Lyman L. Woodman, Robert Hernstein, Lieutenant Colonel Douglas Clure, Mrs. Connie Wilson, James P. Bell, John Petranovich, Robert E. Green, Wallace Slenet, Elizabeth Kirby, George Burns, Roy Sampson, Mrs. Alice Roden, E. Jack Schultz, John Flanagan, Captain A. E. Harned, Orrin Hillman, Jack Easley, Larry Eastland, William Morgan II, Charles Bynum, George Easley, and Jack Harris. Those people, please report to the Public Safety Building here at 610C at 3 a.m. this morning for a meeting. Following messages on the local scene, Mrs. Bird here is here in Anchorage at the North Star Motel. She's wondering about her children in Philadelphia. She is safe. Mrs. Bird is safe and well here at the North Star Motel in Anchorage. She's wondering about her children in Philadelphia. A message to the Wathams and the Ogrins. All these people are in Anchorage and safe. Dennis Ogren, Martha Ogren, Missy Watson, and also the Keels are okay. Herbert Rosenthal, contact Kenai whenever possible and let us know whether or not you are all right. Your wife is at the police station, and she is fine. Marie McLaney, Mrs. Ed Kimball, Janice Kimball, who lives on Government Hill at 821 Birch, please contact Kenai, and we'll put out a message whether or not you are all right. We'll relay that to your relatives who are staying at the police station and are well. Also to Mike Turner, your parents are safe at Mrs. Lambert's, 16th Avenue, and we'd like it, or they would like it very much, if you call Kenai at the earliest possible opportunity, let us know whether or not you are safe and your parents will be able to rest easily for the evening. That's Mike Turner. Your parents are safe at Mrs. Lambert's on 16th Avenue. Jean, do you have anything?
Yes, I surely do. We have City Manager Robert Oldland here. First of all, I'll let him give his announcement, and then I have several other notices which I'd like to get on the air.
This is an announcement for Mr. Joe Columbus or any other fuel dealer that may be able to assist. Our turbine power supply down at the turbine site is running low on oil, and we would like oil delivered as quickly as possible to the diesel site. Thank you.
All right, any fuel oil dealer who can assist us, they need some diesel fuel oil down at the site of the turbine site, the generator. We have a message here from Northwest Airlines saying that the crew cannot locate stewardess Beverly Johns. The crew cannot locate stewardess Beverly Johns. The crew is at the YMCA building. Beverly Johns is requested to contact them at the YMCA building. We have a report from state police that there are no injuries at Kenai. No injuries reported at Kenai. This is a report from State Police. There seems to have been a mix-up in messages involving chlorinators. The chlorinator, we're happy to report, has been installed at Providence Hospital. Chuck Dumman did arrive. It has been installed. However, the Air Force had brought in six chlorinators that had been requested in case they were needed in other places. Somehow there was a mix-up, and they came by the public safety building here and got the idea that they were not needed since Providence.
What happened down there? Whether we
kicked the
water. Okay, you kicked it back in. Now you ready to go again?
Yes, we're ready to go again. The plug got kicked here, and we ran out of power. I thought maybe it was one of those little tremors. I don't know if you sitting up there in the studio have felt it or not, but we did feel a slight tremor here at the public safety building at 1 o'clock or about 2 minutes after 1 o'clock, and at 10 minutes after 1, we felt another one. Now then, back to this problem of the chlorinators. If the fellows from Elmendorf are listening, the ones who thought that the chlorinators would not be needed and took them back to Elmendorf, Donald Penner of the Greater Anchorage Health District, the sanitation engineer, has requested that those six chlorinators be returned to the public safety building. We don't know if they will be needed or where or when they will be needed, but we would like to have them here so that when an emergency call comes in, we can rush them out and install them as needed. So if the Air Force man with the chlorinators would return them to the public safety building, we would be mighty beholden to you. We have word for Beluga. Is that for Beluga? The Frank Smith family is at the home of Red Dodge. So Frank Smith at Beluga, your family is safe and at the home of Red Dodge. There, I also have received a report from a person who is monitoring stations from the lower 48 states. He said that one Seattle station reported that Seattle felt an earthquake at precisely the same time that the tragic quake hit Anchorage here. He said, according to this radio report out of Seattle, the Space Needle swayed. Apparently there was no damage, but it was felt to the point that the Space Needle swayed. This person monitoring outside, Bob Nelson, said that Juno Station reported that an area in Louisiana also had an earthquake at approximately the same time. He heard Sacramento, California station broadcast that small tidal waves in Hawaii had occurred and that the islands were bracing themselves. They were expecting more. We had received an earlier report that tidal waves were being expected as far away as Japan. We have also, of course, received the report that the quake was felt as far away as Houston, Texas, and that there have been tidal waves all up and down the California coast. Once again, we might say that for Frank Smith at Beluga, your family is safe and at Red Dodge's house. Right now, that is all, but we do want to remind these key personnel of the city to report at 3 a.m. at the public safety building in the upstairs. A staff meeting will be held. It is at this staff meeting that plans will be made. made for the operations that will be carried on here in the greater Anchorage area tomorrow. I will be sitting in as an observer on this conference, offering the services of KENI radio in any way possible, and when it is determined how the operations tomorrow will progress, KENI radio will fit in where we are needed and do our best to carry on 24 hours a day. We have another message to Mr. Nolfi, N-O-L-F-I, in Cordova at the Northern Hotel. The message says, your family has been contacted and everything is okay. Mr. Nolfi in Cordova at the Northern Hotel, your family has been contacted, everything is okay. Don Andrews is asked to call the Spinard Volunteer Fire Department. Don Andrews, call Spinard Volunteer Fire Department or FOC. Don Andrews, call Spinard Volunteer Fire Department or FOC. Yes?
We just got word from a representative of the YMCA that they are putting up additional beds down there. They do have additional space, so if anyone is still without shelter, there is room for them at the Y.
Before we go off the air, I understand that KFAR in Fairbanks is monitoring us and is relaying messages to the South 48. I wonder if the person in KFAR would take down a message for me and get the word to my family in Bonham, Texas, that the Chance family is all right. That is Bonham, B-O-N-H-A-M, Texas. Place a collect call to Judge A.S. Broadfoot, B-R-O-A-D-F-O-O-T, at Bonham, Texas, and tell him that the Chance family is all right. I'll appreciate this if the message can get to Texas, for I know that my family, as well as everybody else's, is very concerned over the safety of their loved ones up here. I've been so involved trying to assist down here in the coordination of the message service at the Civil Defense headquarters that I really hadn't stop to think how worried and concerned my parents must be. So if my friends in Fairbanks would please call collect Judge A.S. Broadfoot, Bonham, Texas, and tell them the Chance family is all right. All five of us are safe. None of us received a scratch. We have another message here to Ansel Weskes at Soldotna. Ansaluskis at Soldotna and G. Oskolkov at Nemilchik. To Ansaluskis at Soldotna and to G. Oskolkov at Nemilchik. Your relatives in Anchorage are all right. Signed Bill and Alice Bowens. A message to Clyde Witt. W-Y-T-H-E at Homer. Your daughter is okay. Damage at 4th and Cordova Light. Signed, Nelda. Message to Clyde with or wife, W-Y-T-H-E at Homer. Your daughter is okay. Signed, Nelda. I believe that's all the messages we have at this checkpoint right now here at Civil Defense Headquarters, so we'll return you now to the KENI studios in downtown Anchorage.
Thank you very much, Jeannie. We've been getting some messages down here, too. I hope that you're not going to, didn't plan to abandon the Kenai camper site down there at Civil Defense Headquarters, because I understand there are some meetings coming up, and I know that messages are coming in all the time. You said you were going to sign off the air. You were going to stay there, aren't you? Hello, camper. You're going to be there in that spot up.
Yes, we plan to stay right here. I presume KE and I will be on the air 24 hours a day, and the camper plans to stay right here too. I will stay here as long as I can be of service, though I do realize that eventually all of us wear out, but by then, the crew that has gone home to get some sleep now will be able to spell us. We do intend to stay here right through the staff meeting that will be planning the rescue operation for tomorrow, and we will be reporting from time to time at this area. I understand somebody has just walked in the camper right now with an additional message.
Jeannie, is that meeting set for 3? Is that the meeting that's set for 3 o'clock this morning?
Yes, that is the meeting set for 3 o'clock this morning.
Okay, a lot of people down here, we've been talking to various people and answering phones and so forth, and I didn't hear all of what you said, I'm sorry to say, but I'll be tuning you in from time to time to pick up messages. Otto informed me that he had 75 messages. I think he must have 76 by now because he's talking to someone on the telephone, and as soon as he gets off the phone, why, we'll switch in there to Otto in the other studio. We had a message from John Stepp from Friendly Ford that his building, the Friendly Ford building, has about 10,000 square feet.
Bill?
Oh, hello, Dale. We're on the air here. The 10,000 square feet of John Stepp's Friendly Ford is available to any group or organization that might need it for shelter or for any other purpose in connection with the earthquake, and it's heated, the lights, and I understand that lights, city lights are coming on various parts. Do you have some messages now? Jeannie, did you ask to get in again?
Yes, I surely did. We have an additional message from City Manager Robert Olin asking that Dale Teal or some other representative of Anchorage Natural Gas Corporation would please attend the meeting at 3 a.m. this morning at the Public Safety Building. This is the meeting of the staff of the various utilities and departments in the city government, and plans will be laid for the operations tomorrow, and it will be very necessary for representative of the Anchorage Natural Gas Corporation to attend this meeting. Dale Teal or some other representative of the Anchorage Natural Gas Corporation is urged to attend the session at 3 a.m. here at the Public Safety Building. Okay, Bob.
Thank you very much, Jeannie. Otto has messages, so here's Otto.
Yeah, Bob, I have several here. One addressed, just a moment, let me get this straightened out here. One addressed to Dick Johnson, who expected his brother Bob and family from Fairbanks. They were to arrive in Anchorage tonight around 10 o'clock. And he says they are okay, his house is okay, and that his brother Bob should get to the house as soon as possible. Wyman Keene, our road condition expert, has called us, and he would like, Wyman works with the McDowell Woodland Company, and he'd like to send a message to Jack Woodland, who is now in Homer, that Mrs. Woodland and the family are all right, and they are with Sam, and George's wife and family also fine, and Wyman suggests that Mr. Woodland fly home because the road conditions are very, very bad. Mary O'Hagan to husband Thomas in Fairbanks. Mary and boys okay. That's Mary O'Hagan to her husband Thomas in Fairbanks. Mary and the boys okay. And Lieutenant Rosendahl at the base wants his wife to know that he will be downtown here to pick her up. And one more, Mrs. Lois Lopez at Fort Rich. A message to Earl Bennett in Mountain View. Like them to know that Blanche is okay. She is with Mrs. Lopez.
we have another report coming in from the camper in just a moment. I have someone on the phone. Hello, Kenai. Let's you and I do it on the air and save me some writing here, huh? I got writer's cramp.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. This goes out to Primo Terrapelli at mile 94 at the road commission camp.
Primo Terrapelli?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
I want him to know that all the kids and their kids are all fine here at Anchorage.
All Primo Terrapelli's kids and their kids are fine here at Anchorage. No sweat, huh?
No sweat. Everything's A-okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Here's the Kenai camper again.
Yes,
oh, just hold the Kenai camper. Charlie Gray has it.
Yeah, up at the ACS, we have no communications up with you, of course, and the teletype is running open right now. The teletype is running open, and we are connected up here and surely are anxious to get this teletype circuit working.
So if we may have to end up, could this... It would be possible that we might have to end up sending someone up there to get the message to him directly.
They are up there. They will.
I see.
Mr. Heal and my
But they still don't have the teletype hooked up.
We were running closed. They went up there. Now we're running open.
I see. Okay, well, if ACS could give us a little help there and get our teletype in operation, it would certainly help immensely in getting communications established with the outside world. Now, here's that Kenai camper.
Jeannie Chance just brought to my attention, Bob, the fact that Evan White stated earlier that the stations outside, particularly in Seattle, have been saying that martial law has been declared here in Anchorage. And if Fairbanks is still monitoring us, I'd like to emphasize the fact that martial law has not been declared in the Anchorage area. We are, the civilian populace of Anchorage is handling the disaster with the help and assistance of military personnel, but martial law definitely has not been declared, and if Fairbanks could relay this to the South 48, it certainly would be a good thing, I believe.
I think you're right. The authorization for martial law was extended by the governor, but only the authorization. So far, the powers that be here in Anchorage have not seen fit to declare martial law. Actually, the downtown area, many people connected with the military and others too, police department, swung into action to cordon off the downtown area to protect people and protect property. And this, of course, is one of the reasons for declaring martial law, aside from the material help such a situation can bring about. The time is, we have is about 20, I think, let's see, we established 4 minutes slow.
Or did you?
I see, then if it's right.
1:30.
It's 1:31. The time is 1:31 a.m. Alaska Standard Time. And you're listening to radio station KENI in Anchorage, Alaska. This is the Kenai crew, and you have two messages in there, Otto. You want me to take it on line two? We have a report on line two. Okay, Kenai, hello. Big pardon? Oh, hello, Wally. How are you?
How are you guys up there?
Well,
I don't know. I used to think I knew, but I don't think I know anymore, Wally. I'm having a little problem here getting the telephone on the air. How did you feel the earthquake down there in Ketchikan?
Well, the earthquake down here, of course, didn't affect us too much. We really didn't have anything except a big scare so far. And I hope it stays that way. I hope it stays that way all night. But we do have the town evacuated. That is up to the 50-foot level. And we don't know exactly what to expect. Because in some of our other towns to the north of us, they've had 10-foot waves and 17-foot waves. And we just don't know what we're going to get here in Ketchikan. But I hope we don't get anything. the people below the 50-foot level were evacuated to the schools, to the churches, to their friends' homes, and that sort of thing, as a precautionary measure. So far, nothing has happened that has been reported here, and like I say, we hope it stays that way. But now that I've given you the report, I've got to talk to you, too.
Okay, I'll talk to you. Incidentally, Wally, you might, I don't know how much information you've been able to get from up in this area, but some very disastrous tidal waves have hit Kodiak and Seward. I understand that Valdez and Cordova have both been hit. The report from Kodiak was pretty grim. They say that the main part of Kodiak was actually washed away downtown. And also we've heard that in Seward and in Cordova, I think they said in Valdez, the tidal wave hit pretty hard. And as far as earthquake conditions are concerned, if you want excitement, we've had excitement to spare here today. And yeah, incidentally, the KENI tower lost about 20 to 30 feet. We lost about 20 to 30 feet of the KENI radio tower, and part of our TV tower is just sort of hanging there. It's a microwave. Actually, it's our microwave upstairs is sort of hanging there. And so everybody, I think, has felt the effects of the earthquake personally and in the business sense, too. We have buildings that have literally sunk into the ground. And it's been a pretty grim picture here today as a result of an earthquake that lasted. Well, everybody, I don't think anybody was looking at their watches as it was going on, but we were all taking shots and speculating as to how long it lasted. I said I thought it must have lasted about 3 minutes. So other people said 5 minutes, one fellow said 2 minutes, but it was certainly long enough to do a lot of damage. I know you want to talk to me, so I'll try.
Then I'll change reels here during this lull.
Can I care for you? You got any reports to give for a moment?
Yes, we have several messages we can...